Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome in, everybody. It is time to talk some orange-white preview spring football. I'm Chip Brown of Horns247.com, joined by the managing editor of Horns247, Taylor Estes. Taylor, beautiful weather outside. It is time. We are down to one more spring practice on Thursday, and then the orange-white game on Saturday at 1 o'clock, and then football will go back into its
spring hibernation, summer hibernation,
spring summer hibernation, and resurface in August. But let's get into it, because there should be excitement,
yeah,
among the fan base with regard to this football team, and there might be more. You know, there's also cause for concern. We'll get into that as well, but we definitely want to preview this orange-white game, because a lot of new faces, the transformation of this football roster under Steve Sarkisian the last 2 years, which has been impressive to say the least, rebuilding the offensive line for sure. Three quarterbacks on campus who are Steve Sarkisian's hand-picked guys. Who's going to replace Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson at the running back position? And where's the defense in its progress? Gary Patterson, no longer an analyst at Texas, but this coaching staff has a lot of talent to work with. And they brought in some help from the transfer portal. Arkansas transfer safety, Jalen Catalan, Wake Forest cornerback, Gavin Holmes. So, a lot to get into here.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, unfortunately for Texas fans, you may not be able to see Jalen Catalan in action just because they're holding him out of the spring game with the shoulder injury he did suffer at Arkansas. But yeah, there's a ton of storylines that we have to talk about today, Chip, leading up to this spring game. And I mean, I feel like we would be doing everyone a disservice if we didn't start with quarterback, right? I mean, quarterback is any time there's any talk about quarterback at Texas, people are going to tune in. They're going to want to hear about that. And I think that's a good place to kind of start our preview, is where the quarterback position is. You know, with Quinn Ewers being in year two of Steve Sarkisian's offense and the progression of receivers.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of excitement around Quinn Ewers and his change of mindset, the change of his look, not just cutting his hair and trimming his beard, but, you know, he's leaner. But from what I'm hearing, he's in great shape. He's stronger and has had a really good spring. And with all the new faces in the receiving core and a new cast of running backs trying to push their way to the top of the depth chart in replacing Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson, it's put more on the shoulders of Quinn Ewers to be a leader of this offense vocally. And according to his teammates, he has answered that challenge. So I think I'm excited to see what Quinn Ewers looks like, how he carries himself. I know it's going to be vanilla. I know we're not going to get into the game planning and what this, you know, the offensive identity, it's going to be pretty basic, but you still want to see Quinn Ewers command this offense, throw the football, complete passes, and how, you know, how he's carrying himself, because, you know, Steve Sarkisian set out to improve the passing game. That was the number one priority for this football team going into spring football. And a lot of that has to do with the growth and development of Quinn Ewers. He only completed 58% of his passes last season. That's a high level college quarterback is completing, you know, 60 to 65% or higher. You know, Colt McCoy had the NCAA record when he left Texas, you know, completing closer to 70% of his passes. So, you know, you want to see that growth and development from Quinn Ewers. And that comes with being more familiar, more comfortable with all the nuances of this offense. And that's a huge storyline for this spring, because he is the guy. Make no mistake about it. We'll get into that in a minute, but he's the guy, Taylor.
Yeah. And I mean, with that, you know, you brought up the good point that that was Steve Sarkisian's number one priority this spring, as you had said, but it doesn't just fall on Quinn Ewers. It's also the receivers, you know, and Texas has done a really good job of bringing in, you know, new talent, young talent, experienced talent at the receiver position. And that's only going to help. Obviously, the progression of Isaiah Neyor coming back from that ACL injury is another thing. You know, Quinn Ewers didn't have that weapon to utilize last season, but it all falls on Ewers first. But then also you have to look at also the receivers too. I mean, like, I think it's fair for us to say that we can't lie and be like, oh, the passing game solely was not great all the time last season because of Quinn Ewers. No, I mean, there were plenty of times where Quinn Ewers was throwing very, very, very catchable balls for even mid-level receivers that were not getting caught. You know, it was, there was miscues in the passing game more so than just from the quarterback throwing the ball. There was receiver issues too, but I'm really excited not only to see Quinn Ewers in more of a game setting, but also to see these weapons in full action, because when we've been out at practice, there's been minimal practices that we've been able to see. A handful. Like, I'll give Texas credit. They gave us, I think, more practice access this spring than they had in recent years. That usually happens when a coach is starting to feel a little bit more confident about the team that he has in practice and taking the field, knowing that media members are going to write about it. But, you know, I do think we haven't really seen the full picture of what the receiving core is going to look like, what the guys like Jonte Cook, what DeAndre Moore, what, you know, A.D. Mitchell, these names that we're hearing that are standing out in practices, we haven't necessarily seen them in full action. And in order for the passing game as a whole to get better, they also have to, you know, answer the call a little bit. And that, I think those two go hand in hand, kind of coincide with one another. I would, you know, obviously quarterback taking that next step is humongous, but 1B, I would say, from priority is going to see what these receivers look like too. And this will be the first opportunity that we really see them in full action.
That's right. We've seen Jordan Whittington. We've seen Xavier Worthy. We've seen Casey Kane, but we have not seen A.D. Mitchell, number five, the transfer from Georgia, who's caught touchdown passes in four college football playoff games, including the national championship win at Georgia over TCU, and the game winner over Ohio State in the semifinal. We have not seen Jonte Cook, number two, a dazzling route runner for a freshman, and DeAndre Moore, Demo, they're calling him. We have a new Demo, Taylor.
A new one.
And, you know, Jahdae Barron said, I didn't realize how fast this guy is. He is in and out of his breaks. He's exploding out of his breaks. And he's the first receiver mentioned by Jahdae Barron when you're asking him, okay, who stood out to you? He said, Demo. I really like Demo. He said, Jonte Cook has his route running, but Demo's really fast. And so that's another name that, you know, we've also heard has been really comfortable. And I wrote in the Insider last week that, you know, team sources have told me that Jonte Cook and DeAndre Moore are on the same growth curve that Xavier Worthy was on as a true freshman. And Xavier Worthy was not an early enrollee like these guys. So that's really encouraging. Now you got to see it under the lights. You got to see it take shape on the field, and we'll get a little glimpse of it in this orange white game. But those are definitely three guys that you're going to have your eye on, because Isaiah Nair, number 8 now, he's changed his number. Xavier Worthy went from 8 to number 1. So Isaiah Nair went from 18 to 8. And I don't know how much we're going to see Isaiah Nair. Obviously, he tore his ACL last fall. He's been not a full participant this spring. So good chance we won't see him. But, we'll see him in warmups, I guess.
Yeah.
And so you're right. That's a big part of it. The offensive line is a big part of it. 5 starters back. But Cole Hudson, who started every game at right guard, is out still recovering from surgery to repair a torn labrum. And here's a little interesting nugget from Steve Sarkisian today. You'll probably see Cam Williams, the behemoth, but fleet-footed offensive lineman, probably playing some right guard in the orange-white game, because DJ Campbell, the highly touted interior lineman in the 2022 recruiting class, is going to be held out of the orange-white game. Steve Sarkisian didn't give us a reason for that, but sounds like he's a little dinged up. But Cameron Williams, number 56 in your program. Keep an eye on Big Cam, because he's going to be one of the first team offensive line starters in this orange white game. And he's a guy I'm very interested to see, Taylor.
Yeah, and he's hard to miss. You can't really, not keep your eye out for him, because even in that big offensive line room that looks like how the offensive line should look like at any, Power 5 college football program, something Texas didn't have for a while, he still stands out. He's a big guy, as Chip said, 6'7". What's he at now? Wait, is he 370?
The latest – They've applauded him because he's down from 374 to 360.
Okay, so he was 374 when last year. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's put in a lot of work to remake his body.
Yeah, and this is a guy too. If you listen to the flagship podcast, you probably are like, oh my gosh, Taylor, stop talking about this. But it's relative, because this is a guy that Kyle Flood singled out multiple times in the time that we were able to talk to him at the Alamo Bowl during breakout sessions. We don't get to talk to coordinators or assistant coaches except for like once a year or a bowl game. But Kyle Flood kept talking about the development and progress that he was seeing on a day-to-day basis in practice from Cam Williams. And that was a guy that has progressed probably more than he's getting credit for, because people don't see it on the outside because it was in practice. Well, now we're going to be able to see it. And if I hear an offensive line coach, especially one like Kyle Flood, who, obviously knows what he's doing, is recruiting at the highest level, probably, I would say, the best offensive line recruiter I've seen in my career at Texas. I don't think that's, speaking out of turn by saying that, but if he's pointing to a guy like that when we're just talking ball, not in a formal interview session, I'm going to be looking out for that guy. And so Cam Williams, 100% Chip, I think it's going to be really fascinating to see, especially him line up at right guard. You don't expect a body like him really to be at guard. You expect him to be more at tackle, but I think you're going to see that athleticism that we've heard so much about of him, which sounds wild when you're talking about a big human that's 360 pounds, but he's kind of a freak athlete too. We're going to kind of see the versatility he brings to this offensive line.
Yeah. And You've got obviously Kelvin Banks on the left side, Hayden Connor at left guard, Jake Majors, your center, Connor Robertson, who is being groomed as the backup to Jake Majors, is has not been a full participant in the spring. He had wrist surgery, so they're being careful with him in terms of contact. So that's Taylor. That's part of the reason that, you know, in some of our scrimmage reports, they're you know, that when the number one defense has faced the number two offense, there have been breakdowns in the protection with the number two offensive line, in part because, and nothing against Sawyer Gorham Welch, but he's been the number three center. He's a guy who started his career at Texas on the defensive line. You've got to have that center position solidified, confident, strong, obviously, when you're going up against a defensive line as talented as Texas has. So, you know, you're also looking to see who's emerging among the freshmen in that 2023 recruiting class. Guys like, you know, Peyton Kirkland and Andre Kojo and Connor Stroh. And I'm hearing that, you know, Peyton Kirkland and Andre Kojo are pushing hard to be the backup to Kelvin Banks at left tackle. So we'll get a little glimpse of the offensive line progress with some of the newcomers as well.
Talk about a full 180, right? Last year at this time, they didn't even have two deep for offensive linemen that they couldn't even play a real spring game. Now, you know, we're talking about true freshmen that are pushing Kelvin Banks at left tackle. I mean, that should go to show the work that Kyle Flood has done for this offensive line chip. I mean, my goodness, like, it's night and day different. And you covered Texas for 30 years now, I think, right?
Yeah.
I'm aging you. Sorry.
31.
They're almost 31 years. I mean, when you look at this offensive line, do you get more of, you know, not necessarily like comparing them, you know, toe to toe or anything, but does this look more like the offensive lines that you would see and cover in the more glory days of Texas football under Mack Brown in the early 2000s?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, you look at that offensive line in 2005, where you had Lyle Senline at center and Casey Studdard at guard. Casey Studdard was an undersized guard. I mean, he was barely 300 pounds, 6'2". I'm not sure he would even be recruited by this coaching staff, because the one thing that just absolutely grabs your attention, and anyone who goes to the spring game, if you can get down close to the field, which you should be able to, it's a spring game, you'll be amazed at just how big Texas's offensive linemen are. I mean, they look like an SEC offensive line. And if they're, you know, if they can stay together, grow together, and continue to build that bond, then Texas will be SEC ready when they make the move in the fall of 2024, because they, you know, Steve Sarkisian came in and said privately, you know, that he wasn't, you know, he's brought in to match wits with Lincoln Riley at OU. Now Lincoln Riley's at, you know, in Steve Sarkisian's old job at USC, but Sarkisian said, more than that, we're going to build an SEC style football team. And that turned out to be just what the doctor ordered with this move to the SEC. So, I mean, if you get down close to the field for that spring game, you'll see what we're talking about. This offensive line group is impressive, and they can move. It's not, you know, Mack Brown used to recruit and he used to get slammed for this. Mack wanted to have his recruiting class kind of wrapped up after the junior days and like going into the fall. You know, he didn't really wait for any late blooming players. He kind of, you know, grabbed what, you know, the guys that he thought were the best players, you know, the spring before their senior year. And some of those offensive linemen kind of got fat and happy. And
yeah,
and didn't come in the best shape, and maybe they weren't the best movers, but that is not the case anymore. And so Texas obviously recruiting at a high level on the offensive line. And that's a big reason for confidence this year. When you look at this offense and its ability to improve the passing game and break in a new starter at running back.
Yeah. And when you talk about like the guys that, you know, not trying to go way back in history or anything like that. But when you do talk about some of the guys that Mack Brown recruited and wanting to get ahead of, you know, getting his classes kind of secured early on, I had a coach one time told me that used to coach against Texas that, you know, you would see Texas come out, and this was later in Mack Brown's career, come out of the tunnel, and your first thought is like, oh my gosh, these guys look like physical specimens. And he's like, but they look like Tarzan, play like Jane type of players. Like they just weren't, they may have looked the part, but they didn't play up consistently to what their skill level probably could have been. And that's not the case now. These guys look like Tarzan and they're mean. I mean, Kelvin Banks, you heard the story about, you know, you want mean offensive linemen. You want Casey Stetter may have been undersized, but that dude, you don't want to mess with him. Like, my goodness, I still wouldn't want to mess with Casey Stetter to this day. I mean, he's a nice guy. If you like get him away from the football field, I don't want to meet him on the football field, like, or in the dark alley or anything like that, because I'd be running for my life. You know, most people would. That's more the mentality that it seems like the guys that they are recruiting, not that they're all bad guys or anything. They're just what you want your offensive line to look like and the mentality to have. And it seems like that, you know, this staff knows what they're doing, and it's definitely not, it doesn't seem like it's shaping up to be, oh, they look the part, but they're not going to play the part.
Yeah. They're nasty. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want. You want to see that across the board and impose your will. And so definitely some good things to look for in this orange white game when it comes to the offensive line. And then, you know, obviously you've got the first team all Big 12 tight end in Jatavion Sanders. Gunnar Helm is getting a lot of praise, number 85, for continuing to grow and develop his game. And Jatavion Sanders saying that, you know, Gunnar Helm's really pushed him to be better. And so, you know, you've got two really talented tight ends. Juan Davis, it sounds like, is still trying to grow into the, you know, being the blocker and the pass catcher and not just the pass catching tight end. And then, you know, they'll add a freshman in the summer at that position. And so, you know what you've got with Jatavion Sanders, but the running back position, Taylor, we actually can learn some stuff in this spring game about that position, because I don't know how much they're going to play Jonathan Brooks. He's been limited, obviously, coming off the hernia surgery. And so it's been a lot of Jaden Blue, number 23, and a lot of Cedric Baxter Jr., number 4, and Savion Redd, the very, very interesting receiver turned running back who got big praise after the second scrimmage of the spring for this stiff arm he delivered, where he just shoved Justice Finkley out of his way and kind of opened some eyes on that coaching staff as to, wow, this is a former receiver. He's just throwing, you know, 250-pound guys out of his way. And Savion Redd, interesting guy, number 17, he's making some plays. I've said I don't know when his impact is going to happen, but I think he's going to be an impact guy, and we're going to get a glimpse of him on Saturday.
Yeah. And with Keelan Robinson, he's been, withheld from full participation this spring too. So this is a great opportunity, as we've talked about, Chip, on the Flagship Podcast and the weeks leading up to this. I mean, for these guys to really make a claim for themselves. I mean, let's be real. Jaden Blue has not had the opportunity to even show what he has. I mean, he was fifth string last season, I think you would consider him, behind Bijan Roshan, Keelan, and Jonathan Brooks. I mean, this was a really, you know, highly touted recruit. Obviously, his recruiting ranking kind of dropped after he decided to sit out of his senior year of high school. But still, I mean, he hasn't even scratched the surface or showed anything of what he can be at running back. And then, you know, CJ Baxter being, I think he was number one running back, I believe, in the country in the 2023 signing class. This is a guy that, I mean, we had his high school coach on a few weeks back. And if you didn't listen to that interview, go back and look through that. I don't remember the exact date, so I can't really help you there. But I mean, hearing what he has to say about Cedric or CJ Baxter, Cedric Baxter, I think they still have him listed as Cedric Baxter on the roster, but it's impressive, you know? And so, and then as you mentioned, Savion Redd, I mean, this is the guy that moved positions. The trio of running backs that should be getting the bulk of the work on Saturday all need to prove themselves. And what better way than this is almost like shaping up to be the perfect opportunity for them to do that. Obviously Steve Sarkisian is not afraid to have multiple running backs carry the ball too. So whether, you know, Jonathan Brooks, when he's 100% healthy, if he's just the automatic go-to number one back, these guys still are going to have the opportunity for substantial carries, substantial reps, substantial playing time. But I'm excited to see it, honestly, because we haven't seen Jaden Blue in full action. We haven't seen Cedric Baxter in full action. We haven't seen personally, you know, firsthand, Savion Redd in full action at running back. So this is, I'm very intrigued. I would say I might be more intrigued to see the running backs over the offensive line. I would probably go like quarterback, receiver, running back are the kind of, you know, groups that I would say 1, 2, 3 of priorities for me. But that kind of rhymed. But yeah, I mean, that's going to be really fascinating. And we're going to see how much they're going to even utilize the run game. That's something I'm going to also watch, because if they're not utilizing it very much, are they kind of showing their hand that maybe Jonathan Brooks is going to just step in when he's 100% healthy and just be the guy, and they don't want to give false hope? I don't know. I mean, there's so many different ways you can kind of look at this, but it's no shortage of storylines for sure.
Yeah. And that's a huge, you know, you have 10 starters back on offense, but the one starter you got to replace is, you know, really two starters with Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson, and two of the best in college football last year. And I think we're going to find that out on draft day, coming up later this month. So this is going to be a lot of fun. And then when you flip it and you go over to the defense, that was the turnaround story of the year last year. And the defensive line became a strength. You lose Moro Ojomo, you lose Keandre Coburn, but everything we're hearing is that Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat have taken over and maybe even improved on that position, which is huge. I mean, if that's true, then there's a real chance for this defense to be better in 2023. Obviously, Baron Sorrell is a guy that Steve Sarkisian keeps mentioning at that defensive end position. He's, you know, gotten stronger. He's gotten more confident. He had 5.5 sacks last year, but he's setting the edge in the run game and showing an ability to get to the quarterback. And then you've got, you know, guys who are trying to replace Ovi Ogofu at the other end position, Justice Finkley, Ethan Burke, Colton Vasek, Jamon Tapp. Let's see how those rotations and reps go, because you should pay attention, because the coaches don't do anything without intention. And the first guys out there are the guys who've been playing the best in the spring. And so, you know, I'm going to be watching those guys really closely. And then number zero, Anthony Hill. This guy I'm hearing is coming off the edge and making things happen. He is causing fumbles. And this is one thing, if you're a, you know, subscriber to Horns 24/7, I've written a lot about Anthony Hill this offseason. And I don't typically write about true freshmen who haven't done anything yet. But when you talk to the people who've coached Anthony Hill, he was a stud at Denton Ryan. He played there with Jatavion Sanders, who said, keep an eye on this guy. He's going to surprise this year. But his coaches, in talking to them at Denton Ryan, they said, when we needed to get a pass rush, we moved Anthony Hill up to the line, and the guy has a knack for getting his hand on the football and caught stripping the quarterback, stripping a running back. And it's happening again. It's happening this spring. And so look to see where, and Steve Sarkisian mentioned Anthony Hill today as a pass rusher. I said, your number two priority going into spring was to, you know, affect the quarterback better than you did last year. Who are the guys who've stood out pass rushing? And he said, Byron Murphy from the defensive tackle position and Anthony Hill, the linebacker who they've moved up into that Sam role on, you know, pass rush situations, and the guy is making things happen. So I can't wait to see number zero out there on defense. We have a new agent zero, Taylor. His name is Ant Hill.
Yeah. And like even the linebacker core too, I think in general, you know, just with DeMarvian Overshown moving on, that's a big, you know, big shoes to fill. I'm watching all, you know, guys like Anthony Hill, Leonga Lafau, you know, Mo Blackwell has been a guy that Sark has mentioned. Same with David Benda. I mean, I would say the front of the defense in general, not just the line, is going to be something Texas fans are going to want to watch, because while Texas is losing a lot, like I don't want to underplay the losses that they are losing with Keandre Coburn, with Moro Ojimo, with DeMarvian Overshown, even go back in the back of the defense, you know, Deshaun Jameson, Anthony Cook. Those are guys that played a lot of football for Texas, a lot of college football at a high level. There's going to be a lot of guys, or, you know, a lot of holes to fill, but it doesn't seem like there's as much of a concern when you hear Sark talk about them. And like, I don't like, you know, we're still kind of learning Sark a little bit. I feel like we have a pretty good understanding of how he at least deals with the media when it comes to answering questions. It takes a little bit of time to kind of figure it out. But if you've been in the media for, I would say even like 5 years, you'll start learning how to read the answers and read the room a little bit. And Sark seems pretty confident still in that. Am I misreading that, Chip? Because
no.
if Sark feels that way, I'm like, this defense might be pretty good, and I don't want it to be like I'm disrespecting or disregarding the guys that left, because those were really talented guys too. But this could be something that could be huge for Texas this season. You'll get the first look on Saturday.
Yeah. Jalen Ford. I mean, he's the mission control in the middle of that defense, and his confidence, his communication, the guys all have confidence in him. And I think that trust is growing, and that's a trust that was not there 2 years ago.
Right.
This was a defense that would crumble in difficult situations. Now they're a defense that rallies the team. That, I mean, against TCU, when the offense couldn't do a thing, the defense was scooping and scoring in the fourth quarter to make it a one possession game and keep Texas in it. Jahdae Barron. With that scoop and score. And Jahdae Barron, who I heard was in a green jersey today, so maybe he's limited for the spring game. But Jahdae Barron led the team in tackles for loss. This guy's a star, and he's a guy I think the whole defense has a lot of trust in. He plays a really critical position in that nickel star position in Pete Kwiatkowski's defense, because he's got a, you know, come up against the run. He's got to take on fast slot receivers. And as a former corner, he can do it. And so, you know, that leads us into the secondary, Taylor. And if there's, you know, some question marks, it's okay. You've got a lot of talent at that field corner position with Terrence Brooks and Gavin Holmes and Malik Muhammad. And, you know, Austin Jordan's been working more at nickel behind.
Maybe on Bryce.
Yeah, behind Jahdae Barron, but Xavion Bryce, right? And, you know, these guys are all 6 feet, long arms. They've got the frame, the speed. That's going to be fun to watch on Saturday. Who's getting the reps that matter? You know, I keep hearing Terrence Brooks has been really physical. Gavin Holmes has been really smart. He had a huge interception at the end of the scrimmage last weekend to kind of win it for the defense. And He's a guy who has gotten praise pretty much all the way through spring. But Terrence Brooks came on late last year. I mean, you've got depth. You've got depth at the corner position. And then that leads us also, don't want to be Debbie Downer here, but Steve Sarkisian said we're probably going to have activity coming and going in the transfer portal after the spring game. So what does that mean? Where's some of that depth going to, be affected by the transfer portal positively or negatively? We'll have to wait and find out. But at safety, no Jalen Catalan for the orange white game, but Jaron Thompson and, Keaton Crawford has been praised kind of across the board as the guy who's, really asserted himself the most this spring with that opportunity next to Jaron Thompson. He's been fantastic. Steve Sarkisian said, his communication, his physicality, he's a former corner, so he's got the speed. He basically said Keaton Crawford might be the most improved player of spring football. So he's number 21 and he's a special teams monster for this football team. And he's a guy who's pushing hard, trying to make sure that he's in the rotation.
Yeah. And that's big. He made the move. What was it? Was this last spring that he made the move? I think it was to safety. Yeah. Safety. And it was kind of, there was early hype in spring about his move there. And then it kind of just, flatlined a little bit when we didn't hear much about Keaton Crawford and the development. You did see it on special teams a lot, but yeah, I think his speed being a former corner is something that will be really beneficial to the safety position for Texas. And with Jalen Catalan, he's another guy, with Jalen Catalan still rehabbing his shoulder injury, Keaton Crawford's kind of in a similar position as Jaden Blue or a CJ Baxter, given an opportunity to really secure and cement himself in the secondary. And he needs to. I mean, he's, a senior. He's got it. It's now or never for him. They obviously brought in Jalen Catalan thinking if he stays healthy, probably that should be a wake-up call, I think, for Keaton Crawford. It sounds like maybe it was, honestly, with him being a guy that Steve Sarkisian's talking about, his progress, his development, and really making the most of this opportunity with the guy that they brought in not being able to go full go yet in spring ball.
Yeah, and, there's a depth issue at safety. Not only Catalan being out for the spring, but you've got Jaron Thompson, you've got Keaton Crawford. After that, it's a little bit of a mystery. And so, you get Derek Williams, the Raptor, coming in June. He's another one of my man crushes, and he's gonna, he's gonna get here in June. But you're looking to see where Larry Turner Gooden is, where's BJ Allen, are either of these guys going to make a play on Saturday that turns ahead and makes you say, oh, okay, all right, there's, they're comfortable enough where if they had to play, it's not a massive drop off. So, if you're nitpicking concerns about this football team, it's the depth at safety. And also how far has the backup quarterback position come? Because really everybody's looking at Malik Murphy almost as a first year guy because of all the ups and downs of his injuries last year and Arch Manning, they're both super talented. They're both going to be a hell of a lot better in year two than they are right now. And if something happened to Quinn Ewers, I don't know how many, people on the team would feel great going into battle with, Malik Murphy and Arch Manning right now, because they're still learning. They're just now really getting their, teeth into this offense.
Yeah. I mean, Malik Murphy has had 2 weeks of practice, not even yet. Right. I mean, that is the situation he's in. And I know there's probably going to be some rival fan bases that say that we're making excuses already for the quarterbacks, but it's true. I mean, Malik Murphy literally was injured all last year. He was a third string guy even then, or he may have even been fourth string, my goodness, behind Charles Wright because of his injury, knowing he was not a serviceable quarterback that the coaches could really rely on. We've talked, Chip and I have talked at lengths about this. You know, everyone wants to talk about the quarterback battle between Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning. It's like, no, the only quarterback battle going on campus right now is Malik Murphy and Arch Manning as the backup. And from what I had a source that was at the, I guess it would have been the second scrimmage, not this past weekend, the weekend before, who was very open and said, it's clear Arch Manning, seeing him in person, it's very clear he's the third string quarterback. That's not saying he's not talented. It's not saying that he was overhyped coming in. It's saying that he's a third string because he should be. I mean, he's a, you know, graduated high school, or he should be probably going to prom like next weekend. Let's be real about it. So,
right.
Probably already went to prom. I don't know when that is anymore. But anyway, yeah, I mean, this is going to be really interesting to see the development of the backup quarterback. But I really am looking at Malik Murphy. That's the one I really want to see. We haven't had much opportunity to see him even in practice, because he was held out that first week of spring before spring break when he stayed in Austin to go through rehab. But, you know, guys like Greg Biggins, the 24/7 Sports national recruiting analyst, I trust him. I trust his judgment. I trust his eye when it comes. I mean, he's, you know, the guys that work in those roles, Brandon Huffman's, you know, all of the list goes on, Steve Wiltfong's, all of them. Like, I trust them wholeheartedly when it comes to rating quarterbacks. And Greg Biggins was in charge of rating Malik Murphy, being the West Coast recruiting analyst. And if his ceiling is as high as what Greg Biggins believes it could be, then this is a very, very talented kid. And I'm going to be very intrigued to watch his progression over the next couple of years, assuming, hopefully, if you're a Texas fan, that they can keep him on campus.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's important that he's the number two quarterback. He's obviously got to earn it. He's got to stay there. Mm-hmm. And he and Arch Manning both have to make big jumps in their growth and development over the summer going into fall camp. Because there is no Hudson Card on this roster. And we know that having a backup quarterback who can go in and win games, we know from last year in the Big 12, we know from Texas having to experience that, how important it is. And mm-hmm. And so
TCU, Max Duggan was a backup quarterback.
Yep. And Will Howard Heisman at K-State, he was not the starter either. So, that's, I'm with you. I want to see number six, Malik Murphy. I want to see number 16, Arch Manning, in their development, and we'll get a little glimpse of it in the orange white game. Do not look for Texas's answer at punter in the orange white game, because he's still not here yet. Ryan Sanborn, the graduate transfer from Stanford, will get here in June. So, Bert Auburn and his giant burnt orange hair will be out there kicking some field goals. You got Will Stone on kickoffs. You got Xavier Worthy on punt returns. Keelan Robinson, obviously not going to be out there on kick returns. So we'll see. We'll see if we get, a little glimpse of who could threaten in terms of being a return specialist for Texas. But Taylor, any other thoughts before we move on to just a quick hit of basketball and then get into Love It or Leave It?
I would say the only thing, if you're attending the Texas spring game, and you're looking at Arch Manning, say for the first time in a Texas uniform, he's a much bigger guy than I thought. Like when his stature is, I don't know what I was thinking it would be, because obviously all of the Mannings are pretty big guys, but for some reason I just kind of assumed he was just kind of like a Quinn Ewers or smaller maybe type of quarterback. He's a big guy too. I mean, him and Malik Murphy are going to be very hard. Number six and number 16, obviously they're wearing black jerseys, so it's hard to miss them to begin with, but they're both, I would say, if you're a Texas fan, you haven't seen Arch Manning in person in football pads, like full pads, I think you'll be a little surprised with how big he is, because I was taken aback by that.
Yeah. And then Arch Manning standing next to Malik Murphy looks small.
Yes, exactly. It's like Malik Murphy's the dad. He's like the big brother. And then Quinn Ewers is like the runt of the litter or something, which is funny to say because Quinn's so talented. It's not a knock on Quinn. It's just the other two make him kind of, I almost said something I probably shouldn't, but you make him look much smaller than what he probably is next to normal size people.
Well, and JT Sanders said the passes are different, that Malik Murphy, the ball whistles through the air. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
And JT Sanders said that dude puts heat on the football. I mean, you have to be ready to catch his ball because it is on you in a heartbeat. And that's one of the things that Malik Murphy has to learn. He's got to learn to use his eyes better and not just rely on that cannon and look at receivers because, you know, defensive backs are smart enough. They'll bait him into throwing interceptions, which I think has happened this spring. And so Malik Murphy's got to develop that use of his eyes. And that's one of the compliments that Quinn Ewers has been getting from the defensive backs. Jahdae Barron said he still has not picked off Quinn Ewers this entire spring and that he's upset about it.
Yeah.
because last year he said he would show up to practice and be like, I'm picking you off today. And then he would pick him off.
Yeah.
He said, I have not gotten a pick off of Quinn all spring. And he said he's doing a much better job. Even when we're in disguise, he said, Quinn's doing a better job of you know, manipulating the defensive backs with his eyes and you know, creating space for his receivers to get a little bit more open. And that's what you want to hear if you're a Texas fan from the quarterback perspective. And, you know, this is it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I'm actually, you know, really looking forward to it. Some spring games, you're kind of like, but there's just a lot of momentum in the program, primarily from off the field, you know, recruiting and being able to land guys in the portal. And, you know, they've just done a really good job of building this roster, transforming this roster. And now it's time to, you know, get it sharpened up and, you know, put it to the test in the Big 12 battle this fall, but there is anticipation, excitement. And so you know, a lot of new faces, a lot of position battles we just mentioned, plenty for you to be excited about come Saturday at 1 o'clock. Taylor, Texas basketball, Frank Haith, familiar face to Texas basketball fans, is going to be the associate head coach under Rodney Terry. I think this is fantastic. Frank Haith was actually the one who gave Rodney Terry the advice back in the day when Kelvin Sampson was trying to hire Rodney Terry. He told him, if you ever want to coach at Texas, you got to turn that one down. And Rodney Terry did. He ultimately joined Frank Haith under Rick Barnes at Texas. And now Frank Haith, who is at Memphis under Penny Hardaway, is going to leave Memphis to come to Texas as Rodney Terry's associate head coach, another coach who understands the landscape here, has recruiting relationships from his time here. I think this is a great fit. And with the expansion, the NCAA Division I Council expanded the number of assistant coaches you can have from 3 to 5. And so with that, Rodney Terry should be able to keep whoever he wants from the previous staff. Now, we've reported that John Riley, the strength coach, is leaving the program. We told you in the Insider that was likely to happen because he was Chris Beard's strength coach at Texas Tech. All 5 years, came with him to Texas. Look for him to resurface at Ole Miss. But Bob Donawalt, Steve McClain, Brandon Chapel, they have a chance to stay on this staff. So we'll see if that is indeed the case. And obviously, Arterio Morris, the 5-star, you know, guard who came in as a freshman this past season and really showed a lot of improvement. A guy I was really excited about has entered the transfer portal. Now, this was not a surprise to the coaching staff. They did not want him to do it, obviously, but you know, I'm told there's a chance he would reconsider, but anytime a player gets into the portal, it's pretty serious. And so we'll see. Now, Texas is recruiting heavily out of the portal at Arterio Morris's position. I think the coaches were upfront about him with that. You got to have depth. It doesn't mean they're looking to replace you, but you got to have depth. And Texas is going to go after the best players in the portal, at the guard position, at, you know, in the front court, wherever. So, Rowan Brumbaugh, who came in that recruiting class as well, redshirted this season, has already committed to Georgetown. He's from the Northeast. He was recruited heavily by Ed Cooley, who's the new coach at Georgetown, when Cooley was at Providence. And I think Rowan Brumbaugh wanted to get back closer to home. And so you saw him make the move in the portal and is now committed to Georgetown. So we'll keep you posted, of course, on all the latest developments involving Texas football and basketball. Taylor, we'll spend more time on baseball next week. I'll just say Minchie Mania, Kobe Minchie, the freshman who got the start against Texas State on Monday, 3 scoreless innings, looked good. Let's hope that continues, because what a breath of fresh air that would be to have a freshman reliever with that much poise and confidence. Texas State is no joke, and that was an impressive performance. All right, you ready for some Love It or Leave It?
I am. Before we get to Love It or Leave It, we're going to take a really quick break, but stay tuned. We have more preview of the Texas spring game coming up. We'll be right back.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. We expected someone else. So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
All right, Chip, my first Love It or Leave It for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Love it or leave it.
3-point stance.
Until we know. Jeez. Sorry.
Got my neck roll. Got my mouth guard in.
You look like it too.
Let's go.
Those goggles are goggles, not glasses, right? Yeah. You're wearing there. Yeah.
My Eric Dickerson.
Yeah.
Goggles.
All right. My first one for you is Love It or Leave It. Until we know who Texas' lead running back is, it's hard to get too excited about the Longhorns offense.
You know what? I'll love this right now. I think we do need more information. We need more. More importantly, we need to know how confident Steve Sarkisian is in his running back room in a game. You know, how is he going to call the game? Does he trend toward a pass first pass to set up the run offense like he kind of tried to do in the Alamo Bowl, but not really? Or does he believe that he's got a running back room that can be the pro style offense that Steve Sarkisian likes to run? And he talks all the time. We want to run the football. We want to run the football, because to be effective in the deep throwing game, the defense has to respect the run.
Right.
But I'll love this right now, because I haven't seen what we've got. And you know, Steve Sarkisian may know already right now, based on what he's seen in these, you know, 13 going on 15 spring practices, what he's got at the running back position. But because I don't know, I'm going to love this. Taylor, how about you?
And I'm kind of like, I'm a little torn because I kind of want to love it, but I'm not necessarily sure if it has to do with the Texas lead running back at this point, because I think that Texas has options there. Obviously you want to have one guy, I think. And I think Steve Sarkisian has all but said that without saying it, right? Like when he was asked about it, it's like, well, you know, I've always had a 1,000 yard rusher every single time I've been calling an offense. But
did he jinx himself?
Exactly. But then he follows it up with like, but I would be okay with doing more of a running back by committee. So his answers make me think that it is a little bit of a concern. I would say it would be hard for me to get too excited about the Longhorns offense until I see full go the passing game, because that was a priority. I would say that might be a little bit more so than the running game. And I know it's probably, I don't know. Like I'm torn on this. Maybe I'll just leave it because I'm not going to say it's the running backs. I think that there's a couple of things that I need to see before I'm going to get too excited about the offense. Starts with Quinn Ewers, his development. I think it's on pace. I've said this before. I know this probably is another one people are like, shut up. I expect a Sam Ehlinger-esque type of year one to year two jump. And if you look at their numbers, they're kind of similar from their freshman year, you know, and then you hope that the sophomore year turns out like Sam Ehlinger's 2018 season at Texas. But I think that's there. I think the receivers are going to be better, but I haven't seen it yet. So I would say I'm going to leave this because I'm not too focused on the lead running back. I just want to see the whole offense and the priorities that Steve Sarkisian has placed at the top of his list. I want to see that in action first. And those were the passing game. So I'm going to leave it for that.
Okay.
All right. Did I just talk in a full circle? I think I did, but no, I talked myself out of it.
I see where you're going there.
Yeah.
All right. Love it or leave it. Number two.
All right. Second one, love it or leave it. Despite losing Moro Ojimo, Keandre Coburn, DeMarvian Overshown, Ovia Gofu, Anthony Cook, and Deshaun Jameson, you expect UT's defense to be better in 2023.
You know what? I'm going to love this because even though Jalen Catalan has been, you know, held out of the spring for the most part, I think there's enough talent. And I think, you know, knock on wood, if Jalen Catalan is healthy, let's make that the hypothetical. If guys are healthy, then I think this defense does have a chance, because I think Baron Sorrell is going to take another step. I think Alfred Collins is showing that he's finally ready. Vernon Broughton has been a plug and play player. And I've reported about the heavy defensive line that Texas will use when they're, you know, trying to keep a team out of the end zone, down on the goal line, where they'll put Alfred Collins, Vernon Broughton, Tavondre Sweat, and Byron Murphy all on the line together. This talk about Anthony Hill having, you know, this special talent as a pass rusher, you know, kind of reminds me of Tony Brackens. They're not built the same way, but Tony Brackens always got his hands on the football and knocked it loose. Just had a gift and a knack for it. And I think, you know, even though you've got some, you know, questions about who will take over for DeMarvian Overshown, David Bend has been on campus 4 years. It's time. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna love this. Despite losing all those players you mentioned, I do expect UT's defense to be better in 2023. Taylor, how about you?
I want to love it, but I also kind of want to leave it too, because I feel like that's so much experience. I mean, look at the number of players I had to read off, right? I mean, those are longtime starters. A lot of times it's difficult to replace them. But I will say, I think you bring up a good point talking about David Bend has been on campus for 4 years. We're not talking about these guys leaving in true freshmen only or true sophomores only being in place to take over. That was kind of what Texas had in from 2018 to 2019, right? Like there was expectations for the defense to continue to progress in year three under Tom Herman, and it did the opposite. But I think people didn't count out, or they, you know, forgot the fact or didn't want to acknowledge the fact that the guys they had to replace the veteran starters that they lost were not experienced players at all. They were underclassmen, and that's what led to that. So I think I'm gonna love it, actually, because I can't keep comparing things to the past, right? Like Steve Sarkisian's changed the trajectory. I think he's changed the trajectory of this program. He's overhauled the entire roster, and because of the experience, the older guys they do have returning, they may not be as experienced as all of the guys they're losing. I think they may have a higher upside than some of those guys too. So I'm gonna love it. I'm gonna say I expect UT's defense to be slightly better in 2023. I'm not saying light the world on fire, number one defense in the country, but I could see them being better. So yeah, I'll love it.
Yeah, I mean, one of my bigger concerns, and maybe the only reason I would leave it, is you don't have Gary Patterson,
yeah,
scouting and putting together the game plans for this coaching staff. That was a big deal, and
yeah,
we know Gary's, you know, taking some time off. Now he has said, he told me, and I reported this, that, you know, if I find myself getting the itch come August, I may call Steve Sarkisian and say, hey, Steve, do you have me back?
Yeah.
But we can't count on that because, you know, Gary definitely wanted to spend some more time with his wife, Kelsey, and their grandchildren. And so, That's a big loss. All right.
That's a big loss. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Love it or leave it, number three.
All right. Final one. Everyone listening will know that this was a Chip love it or leave it, but I'm going to pose it to you still. Love it or leave it. The biggest sporting event on campus on Saturday is the battle between number one Texas men's tennis against number two TCU in Austin at 7 p.m. for the Big 12 title.
Well,
if I gave you your platform, go ahead and talk.
If we're talking about hardware, then I'm going to love this. Now, obviously the spring game, orange white game, is easily the biggest sporting event on campus on Saturday, but you got the number one and number two teams in the country and they're playing for the third time, Texas and TCU. TCU beat Texas at the National Indoors. Texas beat TCU in Fort Worth in a non-conference match because there's only six teams that play tennis in the Big 12. So they scheduled each other as a non-conference match. And now this is the one to decide the Big 12 regular season title. So maybe find a way to hang out on campus and meander over to the Texas Tennis Center at 7 o'clock, because this will be good. Big time college tennis. These two teams could meet for the national championship. So I'll leave it, but you know, give the tennis team some love. Taylor, how about you?
Yeah, I'm gonna leave it too. But I'm curious, have you played pickleball? Because Chip, if you listen to this, you know that I always rip on Chip for being a country club kid with his tennis and golf and all of that. But yes, pickleball, Chip, what's your take on pickleball?
You know what? With my knees in the condition they're in, I'm still trying to play tennis at a high level. I'm getting more and more, you know, comfortable with the idea of moving to pickleball, because it's kind of like a cross between tennis and ping pong.
Yeah.
Have you played pickle?
I haven't, but I've had some conversations with my brother-in-law recently, and he was like, oh my gosh, I would never want to play you in pickleball because I'm really good at ping pong and I was pretty good at tennis. And he's like, he wants me to start that as a hobby, because he's like, you'll just destroy some fools. He's like, I just really want to see it. So now I'm like intrigued, but I haven't tried yet. There's one at my pickleball court, not at my house itself, but like in the area I live in, there is one. And there's an instructor that does lessons. A part of me is like, I don't know. I've never taken lessons before. I feel like my brothers will never let me live it down if I take pickleball lessons of all things, but I'm kind of intrigued. I don't know.
It's like the fastest growing sport in America.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I figured that you would probably try this since you're, you know, a tennis fiend. So I wasn't
sure. I've played it. It's fun. It's fun. And you can get good fast. It's different from tennis, but you know, some of the same strokes don't work. Like topspin doesn't work in pickleball. Mm-hmm. It's more of a slap. And you got to know when to play light in the kitchen and then, you know, pick up the pace and try and hit it by him. But I like it. I like it. And I'm not kidding. I'm getting more comfortable with moving over to pickle because I'm playing against younger and younger guys in tennis and it's tough. It's tough out there for an old man.
We may need to have a Horns 24/7 pickleball challenge. See if you can keep up with a older, younger woman. Older.
Great. Yeah. Great. That there's a situation where I have nothing to gain and everything to lose.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. All right. Cause well, I'm listen, a very sore loser too. Like
we will keep you all posted on the pickleball challenge. But until then, hope everyone has a great weekend. Hope some of you can get out to the spring game and check out everything we just talked about. Thanks so much for listening. For Taylor Estes, I am Chip Brown. Until next time, we'll see you over at horns247.com. Stay safe and keep the faith.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.